Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
Series on the Holy Spirit, and today I'm going to bring a word on that, and it's just exciting. It's just so electric, and you know, I feel like prophetically I wanted to share something first. You know, I love to seek the Lord at the beginning of the year with prayer and fasting, and you know, we've completed that 21 days of prayer and fasting. How many of you participated in that? Let me tell you, there's always breakthrough on the other side of your prayer and fasting. Expect it. It doesn't always happen right during the fast, but watch. It says it'll speedily break forth. So just watch for that in your life. And anyway, double portion. And last year was an Isaiah 60 kind of year. You know, and where just his glory was poured out. And it was seen on us. It was seen on this church. It was seen on your lives. And especially as you just pressed into God. And, you know, one of the things about that verse last year in Isaiah 60 was it says, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen on you. Say it. Say, it's arisen on me. Yeah, it's arisen on you. And, you know, it says, kings will come to the brightness of your rising. And sometimes we read verses like that and they just, great, you think it's just, you know, poetic language. But, you know, sometimes when you look at that, there's a reality to that. And one thing that happened last year was when we went to South Africa, Dries, the apostle there that we work with, he received a call from a true king, a king of a tribe of Africans of 11 million people. That's a big tribe. And basically what he was asking for, some pointing, his tribe to be discipled by Christians. Is that awesome? Kings will come to the glory of your rising. And the beauty of it is they served the devil for a long time, witchcraft. And, you know, when that witchcraft, it has a horrible effect on people. You know, when you serve the devil, he's a taskmaster. He's not good to his people. And instead of blessing them, he brought poverty. And instead of wellness, they bring sickness. I remember even on this past trip, we saw a woman who, when she was pregnant with her baby, she was into witchcraft. And she literally had her baby dedicated, you know, through witchcraft. And basically, she came to the witch doctor and said, I want my baby blessed. I want him to be intelligent and strong and this and that. So dedicated it really to Satan. You know, when that baby was born, instead of being blessed, that baby had all kinds of birth defects. That baby was in a wheelchair. That baby couldn't talk. It was horrible. And, you know, of course, we prayed for this baby, this child. But when you serve the devil, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. God is the one that brings life and life more abundantly. So, you know, when we bring the gospel to a nation, we elevate that nation. You know what? They arise out of poverty when you preach the gospel to the poor, because there's something about the gospel of Jesus Christ that transforms lives, transforms cultures, right? I know it's happened in my life. I know it has happened in yours as well. And this year, I believe, is Isaiah 61 and 62 kind of year. I'm not going to take the time to read it. They're big chapters, but you read it. That's your homework. Find out what God's speaking to you. And you know what? If you're going to have double portion kind of year, then you got to have to increase your capacity to receive and believe, right? If you're thinking the same way you thought last year, you're going to have limitations. So this year, increase your capacity. You know what? Jesus had the Spirit without measure. I don't think we've obtained that yet. That means we can press in for more and receive from God, right? Yes. You know, today I'm going to share a journey, and I'm going to tell a lot of stories, and the stories are to give testimony. And testimony, God can do it again. When you hear a testimony, your response to a testimony is to say, God, if you did it for them, you can do it for me, right? And even in the Bible, we read testimonies 2,000 years old, but they still inspire us because it's living, it's active. The breath of God is on it. Today, the name of my message is The Purpose of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit. You know, before Jesus ascended to heaven, he spoke to the disciples, and it was on his ascension. He had been 40 days walking with them, and he said to them, wait in the upper room. Don't even go anywhere. Wait for the promise of the Father. And so 120 gathered in the upper room and waited. And they waited for something they had never experienced. Can you imagine that? 10 days together in a room. Maybe strangers, I don't know. Waiting for something you didn't know what was going to happen. But the amazing thing is Jesus said, it's expedient. It's important that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Father will not send the Helper. Now, you know, you could think of, if you were one of the disciples, Jesus, I don't want you to go away. But he said, it's better if I go away, because if I don't go away, God will not send the Helper. Now, Jesus, you know, was fully God, fully man, but he was only in one place and one time, right? So when he walked with the disciples, he wasn't omnipresent at that point. But when the Holy Spirit is poured out, the Holy Spirit is everywhere, right? Omnipresent. So Jesus said, wait for that promise. So in Acts 2, why don't you look at that on the screen or in your Bible? It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. Hey, say that with me. One accord, one place. I think they were in unity. What do you think? Sounds like it. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says the Lord, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Raise your hand if you're all flesh. I think it includes you. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And your men, on my men servants and maid servants, I'll pour out my Spirit in those days. And then Peter said, repent, every one of you. Be baptized in the name of Jesus for remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift from the Father. He is a gift from the Father. And it's a promise to us. And it says, as too many as call on the Lord from afar, even right now to the present day. So though this happened, you know, many years ago, yet the promise is still for today. It's for you today. And as a result of the Holy Spirit being poured out, 3,000 people were saved. Something happened by the activation of the Holy Spirit that didn't happen before they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I want to talk about that because, you know what, if I had to boil the message down to one line, the purpose of Pentecost, I would have to say it is to be his witness. There's many wonderful things the Holy Spirit does in our life, but the key thing is to become a witness for Christ. The first thing he does, number one, is he fills us with his power. And then secondly, he graces us with his gifts. Third, he guides us by his truth. Fourth, he fills us with fruit. And five, he grants us access into the glory. Amen? And this all comes through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, the number one, he fills us with his power. And that's when you get saved and ask Jesus to come into your heart, you're born again. But there's another subsequent step, which is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said, John the Baptist actually said, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Fire. What's the fire for? I believe the fire is the fiery passion of God to ignite you for his service to be his witness. Amen? Acts 4:13 says this, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men, they marveled. And they realized they had been with Jesus. They had also been with the Holy Spirit. Now, in Acts 4:29, now look at their threats. Grant to your servants with all boldness they may speak your word. And when they prayed, the place where they assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Okay, turn to your neighbor and say, boldness. God wants you to speak his word with boldness. The Bible says God has not given me a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and of love and a sound mind, you know? And today, I want to just share my journey because, you know, there was a time in my life, and especially before salvation, where I was extremely, extremely shy and timid. And that was my personality. In fact, I remember one time in ninth grade, I had to give a speech at public speaking, and I got up there and fainted. You know, I was just like, oh, I can't do this. It's too hard. And just because I was so, so nervous, you know. But anyway, let me just share what happened in my life. Many of you have heard some of these stories and my testimony, but in high school, I was a young Catholic, and I have 8 brothers and sisters in my family, large Catholic family. But by the point of high school, we really weren't into church that much anymore. I call it CEO Christianity, which was Christmas and Easter only. And I was not born again, by the way. So my older sister, however, came to faith in Jesus Christ. She had a Baptist friend that shared Christ with her, so she got saved, truly born again. And she kept witnessing to the whole family. We thought she was crazy. We thought she was in a cult. We didn't know what had happened to her. And she witnessed to me, and I did not receive it at all. I would cuss at her. I would just refuse to listen. Thought it was just crazy. So anyway, however, like I said, my brothers and sisters, my older brothers and sisters started getting into a party lifestyle. So I started getting into a party lifestyle of drinking, things like that. And you know what? I found that alcohol, and we have alcoholism in our family, kind of runs in our family line. And so when I was a teenager, I became like a teenage alcoholic. And then I got depressed, you know? And you do things, and then you're ashamed, you're embarrassed. And, you know, I could just see it was just a downward circle for me and a downward cycle. And that depression started leading to thoughts of suicide, where I thought about probably weekly just wanting to end my life. I thought, wow, I just want to kill myself. I have no purpose, no reason to live. I'll finally be at peace. I had all these thoughts. I hated myself. And so for me, that was where I was at. And I shared with my sister Ann, and she said, well, you need Jesus. I still really didn't believe that was what I needed. But I was at the, you know, my lowest point, and I just said, okay, I'll try it. I'll try Jesus. Well, I tried him. And, you know, so I prayed, asked Jesus to come into my life. And immediately I felt such joy. You know, here I had depression, now joy filled me. I felt such happiness. I had shame, pain, guilt, and all that just lifted. I felt so clean on the inside. I just like, I was born again. I was born anew. I was washed in the blood of Christ, and it was wonderful. And I just, you know, I just was rejoicing. But then I started crying. I said, this is so good, but I'm afraid I'm going to lose it. You know, like, I don't think I can keep it. Like, I'm afraid peer pressures or my habits are going to take this wonderful feeling I have away. And she said, well, you need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I said, okay. You know, she said, it'll help you to know Jesus better. And, you know, I said, okay, great. Let's do it. And so she prayed with me, and I remember I literally felt the electricity of God go up my arm. I could feel the Holy Spirit go into my body. And I just started praying and speaking in other tongues, which is amazing because I had never been taught. You know what I'm saying? I'd never been in a church. So, I mean, Catholic church, but never been in a Pentecostal church, so to speak. And here, God just gloriously saved me and filled me with his Spirit. And, you know, after that, I thought, well, what do I do next? And she's, because I didn't really know anything about being a Christian. So she said, well, you need to witness. I said, okay. She said, tell somebody you just got saved. I said, all right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to call my best friend and tell her I just gave my heart to Jesus, and she'll be so happy and get her born again. So I called her up, and it was Jill. If you were here last week, Jill and Mike, that was Jill. And this was in high school. We've been friends since junior high school. And so anyway, I said, Jill, this is so awesome. I just got born again and filled with the Spirit. She said, oh, that's good, Treen. I said, what do you mean? She said, oh, I'm already saved. I just could have killed her then. You know, it's like, are you kidding me? You knew I was depressed and suicidal, and you didn't even share your faith with me? Can you believe it? What an indictment. And, oh, like I went from happy to sad. So anyway, but you know what? I invited her, you know, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, my natural personality was kind of introvert. Hers was always extrovert her whole life. But you know what? She lacked boldness. And so, but after she got the Holy Spirit, she took off, right? She was just supercharged Christian. And together we prayed and just saw such revival at our high school. And I just want to encourage the students here, college, whatever age you are, really press in to see God work at your school campus. You have a great opportunity, a great harvest field. Many people get saved before they're 18 years old. I was 16 when I did. And so take advantage of these times and years and just press in for that. I just encourage you. You know, so with my salvation, and after that, a newfound boldness that came from the Lord, didn't have it before, I just started witnessing to people. And I witnessed to my family members. Several of my brothers got saved. And then, you know, of course, the classmates got saved. And then it's almost like the spheres of influence kept getting bigger. Okay, now who's next? My neighbors. Okay, so I went out and started knocking on my neighbors' doors. And you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses and the cults do it. Why can't we do it? We have the truth, right? I mean, we have the real answer. And so why leave it to the cults? So anyway, I started knocking on doors. And one time, I was in my neighborhood. I'm knocking on the door, just getting ready to witness to my neighbor. And all of a sudden, from this side, out of my peripheral, I see a pit bull coming at me full steam. It was their guard dog. And I'm a little chicken of big dogs because when I was younger, like a German shepherd tried to bite me. And so anyway, I did not like the look of that pit bull, and he didn't like the looks of me either. And so I turned, and I see it coming running full blast at me. And I just looked, and I said, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. And the dog just stopped in its tracks dead. And it's like, then it turned around and ran the other way. Like, it was so funny, but it was a demon dog. I had to bind that spirit in that demon dog so I could witness to my neighbors. So anyway, crazy. So, you know, after that, I began to witness in other neighborhoods as well, not just my own. And one time I was in a neighborhood, and it was near the church that I was at. And there was like a red light bulb on the porch. And so anyway, I didn't really know what that meant. So I knocked on the door. I go inside. That was a red light district for that neighborhood. So I walk in. It was a prostitute. And her young, and she had her room all decorated out and stuff like that, and you know, her parlor, whatever you want to call it. And so anyway, but her young, I wouldn't say too young, he was like about a teenager son, came and greeted me. And I can only imagine what that child had witnessed and seen and heard in his life. I mean, she had a curtain that separated some of the terrible things that were going on in that house. And he was actually homosexual, very effeminate. And yet I started talking to him about Jesus and sharing about what Christ could do for him. And he received Christ as a Savior right in his house, right there. And so the next day, I say, well, now you got to go to church, you know? And so I picked him up, brought him to church, and just it was awesome, you know? And so just looking for opportunities to be his witness, right? And I was in college to become a school teacher. And I remember my lead teacher, you have to work with an older teacher. She was a Christian, but she was not filled with the Spirit. And she saw that I was so bold, and she said, "You have almost like an aura about you." And I said, "Well, it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit." I said, "Do you want that?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Okay, great. Let's go back in the resource room, and I'm going to lay hands on you and pray for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit." And she did, and she began to speak in other tongues. I'm still friends with her today because of that crazy experience. It was awesome. God filled her with the Holy Spirit. Another time when I was an honor student, and you're supposed to do volunteer hours, right? You know, to good works, good deeds, whatever, to have that status. And so I was like looking for, okay, what opportunities are there? And they had a boys and girls home for troubled kids. And I thought, oh, perfect. I'm going to do my volunteer time there, you know, because I went, you're supposed to tutor them, which I did. But at the same time, I thought, oh, Harvest Field, all these broken, troubled kids, you know, I'm going to minister to them. I'm going to get my hours in there. And yeah, I did tutor them. They did better, but they got saved. Amen. Come on. You know, and I had to find another audience. So this time I had a couple of friends, and we would go to the juvenile detention home. And they just let us do it. It's kind of crazy, but I'm sure the laws have changed. But we had like a musician, somebody could play the guitar. I don't know what my talent was. Maybe I had a tambourine. I don't even remember. But I had no talent, but I went. And so they played, I sang A Joyful Noise. And then we give testimony, and then we just lay out the net. Oh, my, I can still remember. They all responded. And you know what? There was young prostitutes, young murders, thieves, all kinds of kids that have been troubled enough to be locked up. And you know what? They all responded to the gospel. And it's like they all came forward. It was like I wanted to cry because it was so amazing. There were so many of them that wanted to respond. There wasn't even enough of us to work, you know, one-on-one. They were so hungry. They needed the gospel. And you know, that's what God said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the brokenhearted. He came to set the captives free. They were in captivity to their sins, but God wanted to deliver them. Though they might be locked up on the outside, on the inside, they're free, right? Amen. The Holy Spirit wants to equip you. He wants to empower you to be his witness. You know, it doesn't matter where you go. You know, none of this was as a pastor. This was all as a believer in Jesus Christ. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to have any credentials to be his witness. Another time I had a psychology class. I was taking it, and I know for some of the college students in here, you're going to know what I'm talking about. You always hear secular stuff, humanistic stuff, atheistic stuff coming from either the professor or the other students. And it challenges your faith. And you know, like you're sitting in class and it bugs you. Well, it bugged me. And so in that class, I just would raise my hand and say something to counter it. You know, well, I think this, or Jesus said this, or whatever I said, you know. And because I just couldn't let it go unchallenged. They were preaching atheism and humanism. And so I just would just speak up in class. I wasn't shy or timid. And, you know, my professor, he stopped me later after class and said, "Teresa, you're so bold." He said, "What is it about you?" And I come to find out he was a Baptist. And I said, "It's the baptism in the Holy Spirit." And his name was Dr. Dave Power. But he had no power. True story. And so I said, "Would you like the gift and the baptism of the Holy Spirit?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Great. I'll see you outside of class in the hallway. I'm going to pray for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit." So this was in a secular university, not a Christian university. So we prayed. He received. He got filled with the Holy Spirit right there in the hallway. Amazing. Thank you, Jesus. And later he came up to me. He was just smiling. He was so happy because he said he told me about somebody he won to the Lord because he could tell a difference in his life because of the baptism of the Holy Spirit gave him power he did not have before. Amen? Yeah. One last story is, you know, I talked about being shy in ninth grade speech class. Well, in college, I had another one of those. And, you know, because if you're going to be a teacher, you need to learn how to speak. So anyway, I had a speech class, and they said, come up with a controversial topic. And I say, great. So then my mind was thinking, what could I say that I could be a witness? What could I talk about? You know, so somehow I had this captive audience of college students and professor. And what can I say? So I thought, oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to speak on suicide. That's very controversial. And I thought, let me speak on that. And then the whole time I'm giving my testimony. And so I gave my testimony of how I came to Jesus Christ and how he saved me and delivered me, gave the whole testimony to the class. At the end, it was amazing. I felt like giving an altar call, but I couldn't. But I'll see you in the hallway. No. No, but in reality, one of the students challenged me, and he raised his hand, you know, same challenging thing. Well, I don't see how that can work. I said, well, it worked for me. And then, you know, I get my speech back. The professor put A+ with a little angel's face with a halo on it. And I said, thank you, Lord. God has called us to be his witness, right? He wants us to shine our light. We're not supposed to burst darkness. We're supposed to carry the light into every situation. Amen? Come on, university students. Fire up. Come on. Turn to your neighbor and say, be bold. Be bold. Come on. Look for these opportunities. God's going to give them to you. You know what? God will create opportunities for you. Divine appointments, they're called. But you got to look for them. You got to ask for them. And most importantly, you got to take them. It's risk-taking. Faith is risk-taking. And sometimes there's a chicken line. And you know what? I'm not saying I'm bold all the time. I have to pray continually. God, refill me with boldness. Give me more boldness. What I had yesterday, I need more today. Right? And when those opportunities come, you just step across the line and watch God back you with his word, with his spirit. He wants people saved more than you do. Right? So important. Okay. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. You need a guide. I need a guide. I get lost really easy. I'm not kidding. My directional sense is a little backwards. And let me tell you, Siri is demonic. She says the dumbest things sometimes. And I can't trust her for directions. So I need God's Holy Spirit. He's the holy GPS. He's God's positioning spirit. And we need him for guidance in our life. You know, John 16:13 says this, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. You know, it's not always in a loud voice. Just like, you know, when the voice of the Lord came to Elisha, it was in that still, small voice. But you have to listen on the inside. You have to listen with your spirit. And the best way, I would say, to tune your spirit to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit is to pray in the spirit. Yeah. You know, Jude 20 says, build yourself up on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. You'll find if you continue to do that, do it every single day. Pray in the Spirit. I encourage you to pray an hour in the Spirit. Just challenge yourself. Let me tell you, those divine appointments will come and you will be in tune to do it. Whatever God says, you'll do it and you'll hear the voice of the Lord. I think that there's a lot of guidance that God wants to give you, but sometimes we're not listening. And have you ever had like a red flag, like you didn't have a peace about something? Like you're going to go one direction, just didn't have a peace about that. That's the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And we need to listen to a still small voice because God is smart and he knows better than us. And if we listen to him, he can really keep your life from going in ditches at times, right? So listen to that still small voice. One time I was driving the car and it was on the 78. I was going to Tri-City and I saw there's a truck in front of me and it was kind of full of things. And I heard the still small voice of the Holy Spirit say, turn to another lane. And, you know, no reason. I was fine where I was, so I thought. But I listened. So I moved to another lane. All of a sudden, out of that truck flew a big sheet of metal, and it went airborne on the highway. And if I had been in that lane, it would have hit my car in the windshield. It probably killed me. So it's very, very important to listen to that still small voice. How about if God tells you, he says to you, call somebody, right? Do you get that? And then you call them and they said, oh, you were on my heart or I really needed that. That's that still small voice. And he's guiding and leading. Listen to him more. My sisters, and this was a friend of my sister's, and she called and she was really sounded troubled. And but my sister wasn't home. But she wasn't my friend, she was my sister's friend. So I said, no, she's not here, blah, blah, blah. But she sounded disturbed or distracted. So I said, are you okay? And she said, no, not really. And I wanted to just ignore it, but I felt the Holy Spirit say, no, you need to do something about this. Go over to her house. So I got in my car, went over there. It turns out she had been drinking and taking pills, and she was trying to commit suicide. And so I literally got her, carried her because she was so, like, out of it, put her in my car, brought her to the emergency room. They pumped her stomach, and she lived. Amen. And then I shared Christ with her. And you know what? She turned out to be a beautiful student, you know, graduated. Her name was Pearl. And she thanked me. She said, thank you for saving my life. You know, because at that moment, she was really depressed, didn't see a way out. But you know, when she found Christ, she found the answer. Amen. So listen to that still small voice. Sometimes it might be inconvenient, but somebody's miracle's on the other side of your obedience. Amen. Next, I'd like to say he graces you with gifts. The Holy Spirit is given as a grace gift. That means it's free, right? You didn't have to earn it. You didn't have to buy it. It's a grace gift. That's where they get charis, or where we get the word charismatic, the gifts, come from that. And you know what? When I received the Holy Spirit, the verse my sister prayed with me was out of Luke 11:13, and later after that, 11 too, it says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You know, it says in the Bible, you have not because you ask not. Now, you can be a believer, born again, going to heaven, but still not be filled with the Spirit, like some of my friends and things like that. But there's such an empowerment that comes from having the Holy Spirit baptism that you don't want to do life without him. And, you know, it will supercharge your walk with God. And if you want to see the gifts of the Spirit flowing in your life, that's the key to it. Spiritual gifts, Pastor Daniel taught on this, and it was great. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing. And it's interesting, healings, it's plural. Working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongue, interpretation of tongues. All those are available in the person of the Holy Spirit, and God can use any of those gifts through you. But I think you need to be open for it. You need to be hungry for it. You need to desire spiritual gifts. You won't necessarily grow if you're just kind of apathetic about them, I think. You need to really press in for those giftings, right? And I want to say something about discerning of spirits. This is one we don't talk about too much, but it's a very important gift as well. And sometimes you'll discern a demonic spirit, angelic spirits, the human spirit, things like that. But I remember one time I was praying at the altar, and a person came up, And the Holy Spirit told me, this person is into black magic. And they were into witchcraft. And so I said to the person, I said, are you into black magic? And they said, how did you know? And they were, it creeped me out, okay? And it's like, okay, it was that word of knowledge, but also discerning of spirits as well in that case. And, you know, she needed a deliverance. And a lot of times when there's witchcraft present, I know we go into a lot of nations, but it can be in America as well. Sometimes with discerning of spirits, sometimes I will discern there's witchcraft in an area. I'll get a very sharp pain in my head when I enter into a certain region. And it's God is showing me, okay, there's witchcraft present here. This is something we need to prolong about, we need to cover. You know, it's discerning of spirits, because then I'm not going in blindly to a situation, you know, to bind the strong man of that over the area. So the Spirit of the Lord wants to come on us because he wants to bring healing and miracles to other people. Is that right? Right. We're the answer for other people to find Jesus, but also to bring the miracles. Just as you see here weekly, we use the gifts of the Spirit to bless people, right? As we get a word of knowledge and we pray for the sick, they're well, they're better. I want to share one other story that happened when I was getting my master's degree in education, and I had to do a practicum. And then what you have to do is write a paper with an experiment or whatever, and then you have to get some guinea pigs. People, I mean, and and test out your theory and see what happens with it. And so anyway, as a school teacher, I wrote it on at-risk students, you know, at-risk readers. And so I was able to do field work. I asked a teacher in a public school, and she said, yes, I could do my field work in her kindergarten classroom. And now she gave me 5 little students to teach and work with, because they were behind and they were at risk that they might fail, you know, or get held back, I should say. And so anyway, she gave me 5 students. One of the students' names was Marissa, and Marissa had select mutism. And this was about 3/4 into the school year, so it was probably like April or so. And I'm working with this little group of children. We would go to the library, and I would teach them their ABCs and their phonics and just work with them. I'm sitting the whole time, and Marissa says nothing. And they're deciding in the front office whether or not they're going to put her in special education classes because of this situation. And so anyway, every day we're working with these little kids. And one day the teacher needed the class, but she really didn't. You know, with Marissa, it was kind of like more of a pain. So she said, just take Marissa by yourself and go to the library and work with her by yourself. So anyway, I go to the library. And, you know, sometimes people have afflictions, and it's not just physical source. It's a spiritual source. And in her case, she sat down, and I'm talking to her as though she understands everything I'm saying. And then I noticed she could not give me eye contact. Her eyes would dart side to side to side. She couldn't look me in the eyes. And I could see a spirit. It wasn't just a physical problem. It was a spiritual problem. So I thought, I have my opportunity here. So by myself with her. And so I said, I command that deaf and dumb spirit come out in Jesus' name. You know, because the Bible says the mute will speak, right? It did not happen immediately, but the next day, we came with my little group of 5 kids, and the miracle happened right in front of them. God was so good. Let me tell you, we're sitting there doing our ABCs as we always did, and then all of a sudden, everybody looks at Marissa because Marissa's saying her ABCs. It was awesome. And it was so precious. I'll never forget it. And, you know, everybody said, Marissa's talking, Marissa's talking. It was a big deal. And then Eric, this little boy, said, Marissa, will you be my friend? And then Marissa said, yes, Eric, I'll be your friend. And I was just blown away, like perfect language, perfect grammar. God is so amazing. So then we go back And we go back to the classroom with these five kids, and the kids run into the classroom and tell the teacher, Marissa's speaking, Marissa's speaking. And the teacher was blown away because, I mean, even the front office, everybody knew of her condition. It was a miracle in the public school. Come on, can we give Jesus a hand? I got to write that up in my paper and witness again to another professor somewhere. So you know what? Testimony of Jesus, right? We want to give him all the glory he's due. You know, another way for spiritual gifts is for gifts to be imparted to you. There's something called impartation, and that comes from Romans 1:11. It says, "For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift that you may be established." I've always longed to see miracles and healings, and I have seen some, but I want to see more. You know, I finally got to see the blind to see, prayed for a blind person, they received their sight, saw a deaf ear open, had the mute speak. I want to see them all. There's no limit, right? God is limitless. And so many times I will ask for impartation for someone who I feel has a greater gift than I do. And Daniel as well, we've had many people pray for us and impart spiritual gifts. We had, when Dr. Oral Roberts was living, him and Talon D, Daniel and myself went, and he laid hands on us, prayed for us. And he says, "What do you want?" I said, "I want the gift of faith, and I want souls. I want harvest. You know, I want to see people get saved." And he prayed for us for that miraculous and healing anointing. Also, Rodney Howard Brown, Bill Johnson, Randy Clark, a bunch of times. And you know what? Because we're hungry for more. Not for our benefit, but how somebody's on the other side of that miracle, right? That's a person that needs God's touch. So, you know, being hungry for the things of God is not a selfish thing. In fact, the Bible says, eagerly desire spiritual gifts that you may excel. God doesn't just want a little. He wants just for you to just go for it. And that would be one thing I have to say to you today. God's going to give you ideas and creative ways to minister to other people. Step out and do it. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Just do it." Come on, to the other neighbor too. Just do it. Because there's always a point where there's, I call it the chicken line, where you're saying, "Should I? Should I not? Should I? Should I not?" Most of us stay on the should not. But I'm saying, go for it. I remember one other time I was in a public school. I was a teacher then. It was the National Day of Prayer. I had a third grade class. And I'm thinking, I really want to pray today out loud with my students. That's when prayer was banished, at least, you know, from the teacher. But I told everybody, I thought, well, it's a national holiday, but I might lose my job. Okay, it's like one of those risk factors, okay? Weigh that one out. I also have a Muslim in my class. That could be a problem. But I decided, you know what? I'm just going to go for it. So it was 12 noon. That was the time everybody was supposed to pray. So I said, "Everybody, get out of your seats. We're going to do the National Day of Prayer. Take your knee right now." So we all knelt in the classroom. And I just prayed and prayed in Jesus' name. Okay, that sounds good. Everybody get up. And, you know, we all had our moment. And it was awesome. So I was fine with that most of the day. But then I went home and thought, what did I do? What did I do? So the next day, I see the mother of the Muslim boy, Assad, and I'm thinking, this is it. This is that's it. Just lost it over that. And so she came up to me, and I was blown away. And she said, "I just want to thank you for taking the National Day of Prayer and having the kids pray." And of course, he's praying to Allah. I'm praying to Jesus. But she was, that blew me away. Like, oh my goodness, you're kidding. So she was grateful for prayer happens in schools. So anyway, woo. You know, the fruit of the Spirit. And he wants us not just to be gifted, but he wants us to have character. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such is no law. You know, to even operate in the gifts of the Spirit, you have to have a measure of faith, right? But faith works by love. And if you do not walk in love, you're going to short circuit the faith, right? And I think God did that on purpose because love is the greatest. I mean, prophecies fail, you know, things like that. But love remains. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I'm a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. If I have all faith so I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. You know, without love, that's the balance here. So it's not just giftings, it's character. And that character will sustain you in your giftings as well. And it'll be done in the right spirit, not a spirit of pride, but a spirit of humility and giving God the glory. Amen? And with the last point I'm going to make is God grants you access into his glory. It's through the Holy Spirit. You have access into his realm through the Spirit of God. As you're praying in the Spirit, as you're just waiting in his presence, it says in Ephesians 3:16 that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened through might, but through his Spirit in the inner man. It's the inner man. It's the Spirit of God that makes you strong. It's the Spirit of God that makes you an overcomer. Amen? Now today, all these exceedingly great promises we can access through the Holy Spirit. These promises, we can become partakers of the divine nature, it says in 2 Peter 1:4, through the Holy Spirit. And today, I don't know, in a group this size, some of you may be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Raise your hand if you've already been filled with the Spirit, speaking in other tongues. Awesome. But I know in a group this size, some of you may not be. Just like my friend Jill, she wasn't. Or my college professor or my student teacher. Great Christians just didn't have the power of God in their life. And so I want to give an opportunity today to pray with people to receive the baptism. And then for those who are baptized, let's everyone stand, please. Seventh inning stretch here. He wants to give you more power. Say more power.
More power.
Say more boldness.
More boldness.
I think that's what we lack. I think we have the power. We need the boldness to access the power. So I'm going to pray right now for you that God's going to give you double portion of boldness. So expect the opportunities. Take the opportunities. Take risks this year. Cross the chicken line. When your heart starts beating, you feel like God's speaking, listen and obey. Go for it. I don't care if you get rejected, and you will. I had as many successes, I've had failures, but I don't care. I forget those things that are behind me. I'm pressed towards a high mark of the calling of God, right? So, Father, I thank you for each one. And, Father, I pray for a baptism of Holy Ghost and fire. I pray for fire, God, fire of your Spirit, fire up their hearts. God, I thank you for boldness. God, such a boldness that would shake them to their core, God. God, that nothing would be impossible for God. I thank you for that. God, even the hard cases, that they would just have that well up inside of them to go for it. I thank you for that boldness to be your witness, God. God, I pray at their workplace, in their home life, God, in their schools, that you would give them a boldness that it would be evident to all. I thank you for that, God, that they have been with Jesus. Thank you, Father. Baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire. Amen. I just want to say, at the end of this service, which is almost end here. I'm closing. If you have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, I would love for you to come up here. We will lay hands on you and you're going to receive. I had a lady recently, last story, and oh, I said that before. Okay. It was in Brazil and she hadn't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but she was on this trip to lay hands and see people healed. I mean, I can't even imagine going on a trip and not having the power. So she was there. And so I saw her one day and I said, today's your day to be filled. And so during the service, I walked over her pray for her. She fell out under the power, started speaking in other tongues, and her daughter's bawling and crying. Okay, come to find out, I hear the backstory. I'm just thinking, whatever, that's awesome. She'd been seeking to be baptized in the Holy Spirit 18 years. And she had all these people lay hands on her, and she never received. And you know what? I'm glad she didn't tell me. It would have killed my faith. It was better not to know. Don't even tell me. You know, because I just prayed believing, and she did receive. Amen? So anyway, I just want to say, even if you've been seeking a long time, God wants to fill you because you need the power to be his witness. Amen? I'm going to close. This is my real close. And then if you've never received, you're going to come forward, and we're going to pray for you, okay? So, Father, I thank you. I thank you in Jesus' name for the power of the Holy Spirit, the power to shape nations, the power to transform societies, the power to change a single life and a single destiny through your Holy Spirit, God. God, I pray for each one. God, when I look out here, the harvest field, all the souls on the other side of their obedience, God, I thank you for that. I pray that they would be radical for you, just as in the book of Acts, they turned the city upside down. Father, do it. Do it, Father. I pray for that today, God, that they will be your witnesses, that you'll stir them up, that you'll burn out the spirit of apathy, lukewarmness, God. Set them on fire with the fire that comes from heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Woo! Come on, give it up. God is so good. Hey, the front is open. Come on down and listen.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.